Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Tony Katz, the Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff to talk about on a Monday. Hate how that happens, how all the things happen over the weekend sometimes. We have a bunch of stuff to go through. First, Biden did sign the $1.2 trillion spending package. That's trillion dollars. Right after that, some fights broke out. Well, no, not physical, although I kind of wish some had, based on the amount of money we're spending. I would be wanting to throw hands. I'm sure a lot of Americans would, too. But no, this fighting was all just the political yelling at each other version. And it's mostly about the other stuff that the Biden administration is up to, while also signing this bill into law that probably should never have been something that anyone on the conservative side of the aisle, or really, honestly, anybody, made into a thing at all. This includes what seems to be a new attack at the Second Amendment. A lot of conservatives, a lot of Republican politicians are blasting Biden and his administration for the, quote, red flag operation that's a violation of the Second Amendment. All these different sorts of plans that seem to be taking place that will slowly but surely, or not even all that slowly, in all honesty, encroach on the rights we have in this country, in the United States, mostly because, and this is how they always couch it, what they're telling us is they're trying to protect us. And the way that they're protecting us is making sure that they can do more and then more and then more in the world of taking guns away from people that they're told need to not have their guns. We'll see exactly how all this plays out. It is interesting that the vice president decided to be in Florida, I think, over the weekend, Vice President Harris, to tout this brand new training and technical assistance that individuals are going to be provided that's responsible for implementing laws designed to, quote, keep guns out of people's hands who pose a threat to themselves or others. How exactly they determine that? Well, as we've seen in the past, if you are a certain religion, you might wind up being in trouble. If you're someone who votes a certain way, it seems like you might be in trouble. I'm not saying those things are actually in the bill. I'm just saying that this is the fight that's already going on between the politicians. Also, I thought this was interesting. You have two different attorney generals that are both in the news, both going after Trump, both doing things that you think are probably going to wind up being bad for them at some point in their political or just professional careers. You got Letitia James and how she intends, it seems, to seize a whole bunch of Trump assets. The craziest thing about it, I do love this, and I believe we talked about this a little bit on Friday, but there's so many references now to how valuable Mar-a-Lago is if they actually try to take it over and sell it or anything else. But I thought this back and forth was kind of interesting on Face the Nation, where they're talking about all the different things that Letitia James desperately wants to take and then sell and flip to who knows what the buyer is. Because again, actually physically doing this, or whatever the right word is for it, would demonstrate where the value might actually be in these properties. That might be something that the attorney general in New York regrets as she goes through. Who knows? I don't know how much of this process will even happen. But here we go. Here's a little bit of this back and forth on Face the Nation talking about what's going to happen next.
This is a big point, potentially, in the campaign. Is he going to be able to pay for this?
Good morning, Margaret. Former President Trump's lawyers say he will not be able to secure this bond by Monday's deadline. And there could be a delay tactic or an appeal they announce in the next 24 hours.
Delay tactic.
It's very clear that at this point they don't have the money to put up, even though Trump's trying to maybe use the merger of a social media company to get some leverage here. It is clear the Attorney General of New York is moving very aggressively, already has a file in Westchester County to begin the process of seizing assets in that area of New York, and she could use a marshal or a sheriff to begin freezing Trump's bank accounts and taking prized properties like Trump Tower and 40 Wall Street.
Here, real quick, and I got to take a break already in just a second, and we will, and we'll talk about a bunch of this. We'll talk about Fannie Willis and how she's in the news in just a bit. But in all honesty, when you describe or when you discuss what it looks like for the judicial system to go after a political opponent of someone who's currently in a position of power in a government system of any kind. I don't mean just here in our country. I mean, of any kind, this is exactly what that looks like. And so every moment of these stories, every new version of it enforces more and more the belief that people have here. You know what? I want to say it this way. I've been told a lot of times that people are bored or annoyed or is the reaction to Biden versus Trump 2.0, that people are checked out and don't want to think about it all that much. At the same time, as this keeps happening to Trump, this over here, that over there, I think it reinvigorates interest, not just in Trump and potentially voting for him, but in outing whatever is wrong in Washington. I do think this is a motivational thing for a lot of people, and it's the reason that maybe conservatives are more likely to show up and vote than Democrats right now, because I don't think the same level of just, same old is truly the feeling for a lot of people, because none of this is same old. It's all new and it's all crazy. All right. On that note, we'll take a break. We'll keep talking about this as we go today. This is Craig Collins filling in Tony Katz, the Morning News, 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
WIBC, I like this musical choice by Carl. You got Matt, you got Carl hanging out as they do every single morning on this show. I am Craig Collins and I'm here tomorrow. Tony is back. Here's the thing. You can go viral for any reason on the internet. Anything you do could in fact go viral. It doesn't happen that often, even if we think it does. Actually, my favorite was a meeting I once had in this industry. Not where I currently work, for anyone that looks that up and wants to tell my boss I was saying bad things about him. But at one point in my career, I was in a meeting where someone said, we got to make more stuff go viral, guys. We just got to do it. Some way, somehow, we'll do it. This apparently is a cheat code. If you can do an impression of John Mayer and you choose to sing the theme song to SpongeBob SquarePants, I'm not kidding. This went very, very viral. People seem to really like it. You decide if you like it. And by the way, I am thrilled. I'm playing John Mayer impersonation guy doing SpongeBob on Tony's show. Here we go.
Who lives in a pond on the sea?
Caps the Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins, getting you going today. And then Tony is back tomorrow. I got to say just quickly, the Andrea Bocelli commercial just aired. That sounds awesome. The Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra and one of the best Italian singers. This is coming from a New York Italian, a New Jersey Italian, me. It sounds great. Saturday, April 13th. That's a weird thing to hype on or to focus on for a second, but I want to go to that. I want to go to that a lot. All right, let's do other stuff. Let's talk about other things. First, let's do this. This is hilarious to me. And I'll tell you some of what people said is actually being sung. But the vice president was walking out of a school in Puerto Rico. She was touting all the great stuff she's done, the administration has done for Puerto Rico. Apparently, the people there don't think so much. They don't think the same as her. So they start singing a protest song at her. It includes some pretty far left stuff about, you know, wanting peace in the Middle East. She has no idea what they're saying. Apparently no one there that does speak Spanish and English, and you'd assume there's enough people wants to, you know, translate this for her. So she starts clapping and smiling along as they're protesting to her face via song. You don't get better than this. Again, they're not saying English words, but I can tell you basically what they're saying is, we want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? What do you know? What do you think of this colony, et cetera, et cetera. They're taking several shots. And then, as I said, also calling for peace in the Middle East for some reason. Here we go. Okay. I don't know if I needed to play it, but I decided to play it. And here's why. Because so very often in performative crap politics, mostly from the left side of the aisle, I feel, you have stuff like this where the person feels like, uh-oh, I got to be woke in this moment because woke is our brand. That's our side of politics. So I'm hearing something I don't understand in a language I definitely don't speak. Let me go ahead and applaud it and clap at it and smile and just assume that everybody's saying nice things because that's what I have to do to be woke. I have to demonstrate that I love stuff I don't understand, a whole lot of stuff I don't understand, and that's the only appropriate response. A little more. Let's do the little more. Hey, look at that. So nice of them. We're clapping. We're smiling. We're so happy. Other people standing around are doing it, too. They might speak both languages and know that this is a protest song. That doesn't matter. That'll be fine. I do, again, find that interesting. All right. One other quick thing I want to play audio-wise. AOC. Doing the other talking point thing that you're going to hear a lot of, say, over the next few months. And this is the January 6th is the worst thing that's ever happened in our society and that Trump is 100% responsible for every moment of it. It doesn't matter if that's true. It matters that they'll say it and they'll say it a lot. Here's AOC comparing it to a terrorist attack. And what's crazy about this is that, of course, in the news very recently was a terrorist attack that happened in Russia. So it seems almost heartless, as well as being, you know, a lie that AOC is claiming that Trump ordered a terrorist hit on the United States where, you know, none of the politicians were injured, which is also an odd thing compared to what actually happens in the horrific event of a terrorist attack. Here we go.
Has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that has been subject to this level of criminal charges, indictments, and investigations? This is not about party. This is not about politics. This is about corruption and criminality.
Oh, is it?
We're talking about an individual who ordered essentially a terrorist attack.
What?
On the Capitol of the United States.
Yeah, I got to stop it right there. That's insane. And that's insane with the backdrop in the world right now of an actual terrorist attack that people are talking about. It's, as I said, heartless. But the other thing that's so ridiculous about all this is it's 100% about politics. And you can tell it's about politics. I can tell. Biden had classified documents. He's not in trouble for that. It named the issue, and you can find someone else who's not in trouble for it. In New York, the seizing of all of his properties, there has been a ton of reaction from real estate, you know, moguls, from high-value individuals saying how ridiculous these lawsuits are. There's no harmed party. None of the banks brought these issues forward and went after Trump for it. And everyone else who does this, any version of it, would be easily in trouble for the same thing. But New York's not going to go after anyone other than Trump. There's a lot of examples of that. Again, you don't have to like Trump to admit that stuff. You just have to admit that stuff. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Tony Katz, That's the Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Matt and Carl hanging out as they do every single morning on this show. I wonder if any of us would blame people for doing this. I won't. I'll go ahead and say I don't before I even tell you what it is. Apparently, people are checking as to whether or not they're flying on Boeing aircrafts, specifically the 737 MAX 9. And if they are, they're changing their flights and trying to get off of certain specific planes because of everything that's been in the news and bad in the world of Boeing. Again, I don't actually blame people for doing this. It sounds tricky. It sounds difficult to succeed in this world. What do you think?
I don't blame them at all, but I do not do it. I mean, look, if you get put on a Boeing... If a Boeing jet goes down, if a Boeing aircraft goes down, I mean, that's the end of Boeing. Okay. Right. That's going to be it. And when it comes to protecting the business and the investors and the stocks of Boeing, I can almost make sure that whatever they've implemented now is going to be very serious. Same thing with the FAA looking at them. It's not something that I'd worry about. Now, that doesn't mean Boeing aircraft are safe. This is just my thinking here. This is just the way I look at it.
No.
But there's just way too much money in Boeing when it comes to military contracts, when it comes to private contracts.
Exactly.
Listen, it's the end of Boeing if another ship goes down here. That's all right. I'm thinking here.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And honestly, I think that's the bigger takeaway that people are forgetting. And I was talking about, I think, last week how young people, Gen Z, are like afraid to fly entirely right now. And there's a difference between the crazy stories we're hearing and how bad it sounds and actually like the tragic version of stories where planes are crashing and people would be losing their lives. I would only really not blame the dude who had his shirt ripped off if he never gets on another Boeing again. The team, whoever that was, on the one where the door plug came out, that guy can stay off Boeing for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's okay with me. I mean, I would rather passengers be chosen not to be on the Boeing aircraft than passengers actually choosing not to be on the Boeing aircraft. But I get it, man. I mean, and it's your own travel plans. And if you're traveling, you're going somewhere. It should be fun. It should be exciting. Right. And that's the last thing you want to worry about is whether or not you have a functional aircraft, you know?
Exactly correct. Another story I saw out there. And granted, I really like this story. Although I know a lot of people are saying that this is an example of how crazy baby names are getting. The reason I like it is I made this joke a lot of times as a teen, as a kid. I don't know. I thought it was funny, a funny idea. A buddy of mine even had a ridiculous version of it. But anyway, a person went on one of my favorite places on Reddit. Am I the Jerk is the place that I usually call it. Am I the A word is the real thing. This is a woman who's pregnant and having a kid soon. And she said she got in a huge fight with her husband about names. If it's a boy, they're both fine. They're going to name the young man Stuart Jr. Because I guess his dad is Stuart. But if it's a girl, the guy wants Stuarta, which is a female version of Stuart no one's ever heard of. Again, I thought this was funny. I thought this was the George Foreman move. I said Craigina might be a name I'd go with at some point in my life. It was just a joke. This guy's taking it too far. What's your reaction to this?
I love Craigina. That's terrific.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. If you can't agree on a baby name and you're going to be fighting over it, then I think that the marriage is in real trouble here. That sounds like something that you wouldn't blow up. And I've never been married. What do I know? But it sounds like something you wouldn't have a huge fight over. And second, if you're creating your own name for your child, I imagine it's going to be more difficult for your child to make it through elementary school or middle school. I mean, give them a break.
Or anything.
You know? Yeah, anything. Right?
Really, anything, with you even for the rest a job of interview.
You call me Manny and I'm changing my name. You know, I'm getting disenfranchised. I'm out, you know. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I think it'd be hard to take Stuarta seriously as she's so applying dumb. For a job somewhere. I think that would be difficult. I don't know. I find it, as I said, very funny. And I know, and we've said this before about that place on Reddit, that the worst way to try to win an argument in your life with someone you care about is getting internet strangers to side with you or attempting to get them to side with you. Probably not going to help, you know, ease the tension. One last quick one. And I love this too. There's a Brooklyn man who's being called Iron Man. Which is cool if you're a Marvel fan, but less cool when you find out why. It's not because he's got cool technology or something. He's literally ironing people's clothing at a nearby bar. This is something he's doing free to help the community. He's very nice, but they're making a very lame version of Iron Man now because it's a dude with an iron that's ironing clothing. And I don't know why I care about this. The guy's doing nice stuff. I should be happy. but I'm sad at the lame new use of Iron Man.
I'm kind of excited about it. You know, I mean, think about it. You have a couple of shots. Go get your shirt ironed after you spilled things all over it. I mean, it's actually a good way to pre-party, yeah. Get your shirt ironed, and then you can go out to the night's festivities. I don't think it's bad. You said Iron Man. I thought of something like somebody walking around in a suit of armor. I don't know why that was the first thing I thought of. You know, maybe just.
Well, I love that you made the reference to like you're out at a bar, because yes, you could be out at a bar with your buddy. You have like three shots, and you're like, man, have you met Iron Man in Brooklyn yet? And he's like, no, I haven't. And you go there, he just irons your shirt. All right, let's take it away with some traffic.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Very sad. News 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins. Rana McDaniel is somehow still in the news. Look, I'm no fan of Rana. I do think that she should have gone from the RNC a while ago. I do think she was out of touch with a lot of conservative voters in some of the things she said. Case in point might be the way in which she, in the interview on Meet the Press, talked a lot about a fair and square 2020 election, but then also issues that she saw that existed. I don't think you can say both things at the same time. I think that's part of the problem. If you want to cater to people who feel one way or people who feel a different way, pick one lane and go. Just take that road. But anyway, Chuck Todd, very upset about all this. A lot of NBC, very upset about all this. I can play some of the long rant, whatever you call it, that Chuck Todd went on right after they aired the interview with Rana McDaniel. But before I even do that, I want to say that former DNC, RNC chairs, people who worked literally within administrations, very, very often get TV jobs after their time is over in whatever the political world is they worked in. And especially if it's Democrats, there's not this crazy uproar from the same side of the political aisle or the same side of the media aisle, if that's what you want to call it. So I just find this so hypocritical. It's great. Even if I agree that Rana's a weird hire for NBC and I don't really need to hear from her. But that is also the move that a lot of people make when they want to pretend that they're trying to be on both sides of the aisle. But really, they're not. They're going to pay a person that they can put an R in front of their name. However exactly they do that, kind of like The View, and then also tell them, this is what you say now, this is what you don't say. We need you to say this stuff. But here we go. Here's Chuck Todd being very upset.
So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? What, once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this.
Because so mad.
Many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination.
Ugh, that is what's happened every time that we've dealt with the RNC and said how terrible Republicans are on television. And then they've done stuff and said stuff and made us very mad. Et cetera, et cetera. I love this. I love the hypocrisy of these things because somehow, some way, they don't see it, or at least I assume they don't see it. And if they do see how hypocritical they're being, you would think that a lot of these individuals in mainstream media just wouldn't allow themselves to say this stuff. No matter how much, again, I actually agree that Rana was not a necessary hire, that she can go disappear into the ether, and I would be as happy as anyone else about it. It's just such an odd version of, you know, how dare we? How dare we as media, as journalists, as people high and mighty on the, you know, a hill of I guess, value and integrity? How dare we do something so low, like hire someone with the political connection she had, even though we do it constantly out of the left and with Democrats on an almost regular basis? It's amazing. All right. One other thing that I want to touch on just quick before I take a break. I do think this is interesting. The development going on after the horrific terrorist attack that happened in Moscow, 133 people at least were killed. The Islamic State immediately took responsibility for it, said that we did this. The people that you've arrested, the people that, you know, you're going to try for this are people that are connected to us. The United States, I guess, has backed that assessment, saying that our belief is that, yes, it was an Islamic State, an ISIS thing that happened. It hasn't prevented Russia and Ukraine from alluding to the idea that the other country was involved somehow, Ukraine saying that Russia was involved somehow in order to create some sort of, you know, public sentiment or public change of heart for how people feel about the Russian war on Ukraine because of a terrible thing happening to innocent people inside a city, a big city in Russia. What I can't get over in all of this is the missing component the United States should be saying about allowing ISIS or allowing other organizations to maybe thrive once again, to start growing once again. That's the conversation that we've been having. Well, at least some of us have been having that's been falling on deaf ears. And then you see an attack like this anywhere in the world as significant as this, and ISIS takes credit for it so quickly. And you think to yourself, man, I wonder why the narrative isn't, and we all know the answer to this, but I wonder why the narrative isn't that the failed exit in Afghanistan, the money that's been sent from the United States to other places that's moved around in scary ways, et cetera, all are playing aspects into this, similar to even people thinking that what's going on between Hamas and Israel is money that landed in certain pockets that was then provided to Hamas to create a you know, horrific attack there. That's the real conversation we should be having, not whether or not two countries at war are going to try to blame each other for something terrible that happened inside one of those countries, regardless of if it's accurate or not. That's the part that I guess always happens, but doesn't need to be the general focus of many of us. I can't get over that either. There's feels like there's a good amount of hypocrisy there too. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Matt and Carl hanging out as they do every single morning. I saw a story go viral. It's in the New York Post, excuse me, and a lot of other places. And I can't help but think a thing. This is a little bit adult in nature. I'll try my best to clean it up because I know it's 7:18 in the morning. I probably shouldn't go there. I can't help it. So a Gen Z couple. They're both 23 years old. Their names are Maggie and Danny. Have gone viral because they talked about how crazy it was that they had decided to download a dating app, that they met each other, and a week into knowing each other were humans at all, they wind up expecting a child. That's the story that's gone viral everywhere. And they're like, it's a roller coaster. They're the craziness, and we're going to get married or whatever we're going to do. Here's the thing. Some of us may wonder if one of the two individuals in this relationship was already aware of something and didn't tell the other person until after you meet and have the 1 week of romance, I guess. That's the curiosity. That's the Jerry Springer version of my thought coming out. And then probably the, you know, are you the father test happening as well. What do you think about this, Matt?
Oh, this used to happen in Gen X too. I mean, sure. This is a problem our whole lives. I didn't go there with my head like somebody might have had the information beforehand, but my head did go to how do you know the child is, well, that you had something to do with the child being conceived. That's where there my head went. Yeah, that's right. Where I would have some questions. You know, how do I know
I would,
it's
I'd
mine?
I'd be curious.
You know, yeah.
Right, yeah. And I don't want to ruin this 1 week long relationship where we're already expecting a child with a paternity test, but I'm going to get one. I'm going to ask for one. We're going to do that at some point if this were me.
Consider it
again,
a prenup.
I'll just apologize.
Right. What? Consider it a prenup, you know? I mean, this is what we're doing. None of us have any money. We're 23, but right. I want to make sure it's mine, you know?
I just out of curiosity, just to be safe, you know, like make it into a joke, but then definitely do it. All right. There's no joke that you could make that into. Another thing I saw out there, I thought this was interesting. A guy is running for president in Texas. And he thought that he should change his name to be as appealing as possible to people. So he changed his name to literally anybody else. That's his legal name right now. And I think I have a political commercial that he made about how he's running for office And the reason why is because he doesn't want to vote for anyone. He'd rather vote for literally anyone else, which apparently is now him. Here we go. Oh, wait, hold on.
That's my name.
My name is literally anybody else, and I'm running for president of the United States. You know, it's not necessarily about me as a person, but it's about literally anybody else as an idea. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, under it would be literally anybody else. There really should be some outlet for folks like me who are just so fed up with this constant power grab between the two parties that just has no benefit to the common person.
Does literally anybody else have a shot at winning the presidential election, Matt?
This was done already in Brewster's Millions, a great 80s comedy with Richard Pryor when he said, vote for none of the above. And it was perfectly done. And this doesn't have the irreverence. It doesn't have the comedy of that. So it's really no fun at all. This will be remembered for 15 minutes. Listen, maybe I'm cynical. People have made up their minds about the election. They're going to go out. They're going to cast their vote. And they're certainly not going to vote for literally nobody else. Just because they're on the ballot. It doesn't work that way. Start with comptroller, run for comptroller, or maybe state senate, and then you can work your way up to president. Yeah. That's what I would advise.
Actually, I love that
idea. As a political mastermind.
There you go. If you want to change your name and make some sort of political statement and also have an outside shot at winning something, literally anybody else should run for a small office first. go work your way up, go through the right path, and then eventually get to the position where you're trying to run for president, I guess. But yeah, I totally agree with you. 15 minutes of fame seeking again, stupid again, just a lot of things, and done way better by Richard Pryor. So really, why are you even trying it?
Such a good movie, man. It's true.
Yes, it really is. Another thing I saw out there that I thought was interesting, Europeans are going viral on social media. I think this is actually also on Reddit, talking about the American things that they don't understand that we do that's normal, that they think are crazy. We drive too far is one of the first ones they say. They don't know why we don't take another form of transit, whether it's a train or, you know, a plane, that we go on way too many long distance drives. I utterly think that they're ridiculous. The Europeans that are saying this or whoever on the internet, a long drive is great. A road trip is a thing people should do. And it's better that way than any other way you're going to do it.
Now, would we still take the long drives if we did have trains? I mean, think about the stress and the anxiety you get sometimes while you're driving. And I do get that when I'm driving. I mean, I report traffic. Nobody hates being stuck in traffic more than I do, you know, except for everybody else listening right now. I mean, so if the option of a train was there, I mean, they're talking about the South Shore and expanding the South Shore. As a matter of fact, I believe that they're doing that. If the train is there, wouldn't you rather take a train ride where you don't have to navigate the steering wheel and worried about distracted driving and no rights on ads and electric buses and everything else we deal with here in Indianapolis? Just let somebody else take the wheel for a moment. Then you can kind of decompress, enjoy your life a little bit. You know, if that was there, if the option was there, that's what I'm saying.
Well, let me say it this way, because I totally agree with you. And I do like the idea of taking train rides too. But if you never go on a car trip that takes more than 3 or 4 hours to go from one place to another place, you're doing something wrong in your life. You got to do a long road trip, and we don't use the maps anymore because everything's GPS. But there was something really nice about those, even with all the fighting, even with all the crazy moments that happen, like going on a 12-15 hour drive to one destination is something that shouldn't go away. And I think that's part of what the take is by the people in the other countries that are saying we're idiots for making this decision.
Well, if you're going to be on a train too, you're going to get a murder mystery. I mean, it's just the Orient Express. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to get murdered, and you are going to be allowed to solve that mystery. I've seen movies. This is true. So I'd much rather have
definitely.
A train.
You know what? I would take way more trains if there was going to be a murder mystery at some point. I would have with Hercule Poirot or whatever, one of those individuals, someone popping out of nowhere and trying to figure it out. That'd be great.
How do you advertise that? Somebody gets murdered. You get to solve the mystery. Come on in. Oh, by the way, you get dinner and dessert. Free drink at the bar.
Oh, you know what? Actually, if it were that performance thing, where like it's a bunch of people who didn't make it as actors after their high school drama and they wind up in this thing, I actually think it would be painful again. Like a fake murder mystery train, I feel like that gets really not fun very quickly.
It just depends on who's going to get murdered. By the way, if you're the one that's chosen, sorry about your luck.
Money's
refunded though, you know, if you get...
Well, let's not go too far, Matt. You don't want to refund all the money.
Oh, no.
We'll comp some items at the bar or something, I guess. Other things out there that they said are crazy, drug advertisements. And this one I think a lot of us can agree with. They don't exist in Europe. They do exist here. And Europeans think it's crazy that we have these drug ads all over television. I easily agree with that. I think we should have far less of these. And I also thought it was nuts that the Pfizer CEO was doing interviews during COVID. You could find anybody else to have a take than the dude who's making money off the thing he's discussing. And yet here we act like that's normal.
Oh, it's so disingenuous. It's something that I'm really surprised that was one of the things. And I'm surprised that's not a European thing.
Right.
But to me, it is always a little bit gross when that ad comes on, you know, and I don't want to, I'm not ripping any advertisers here, but it's something to the effect of, okay, you're saying this works, and then the last 5 seconds of your ad is a disclaimer telling me how I'm going to break out the chicken pox.
Hey guys, we have a lot of pharmaceutical ads. I love them.
Oh, thank you, Carl. Carl. We're outvoted.
No. Right. Yeah. Here, I'll say this. And again, this is not trying to crap on any of our advertisers. No. I know we got to get to traffic. But I will say this, that I think that the constant nature of it, especially in television, is the frustrating part. Not necessarily the wonderful people who brought these products to WIBC that we choose to put on these airwaves. And on that note, we'll save this with traffic. Matt, take
it
away.
It's just a really quick disclaimer at the end that always bothers
me.
You know, that thing.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
We're looking at northbound.
Tony Katz, the morning news, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Tony is back tomorrow. I'm going to take a second and talk about something you probably didn't expect me to discuss on the show today. First, of course, March Madness, big deal. Especially a big deal in Indy, and Purdue is doing great. 106-67, a blowout destruction of the Utah State Aggies. So great there. But I saw this story that was trending on social media about March gladness. And you might not know what that's talking about. I didn't at first. I had to dive deeper. But it's community leaders in some of the, let's call them more difficult communities that exist within Indy, calling for young people to do the right thing when two options arise. This is among other things they're saying, providing resources, financial support, or at least training for how to handle things when you get older. Here's what I thought was really interesting about this, and it's not talked about enough, I don't think. When communities try to help themselves, and you see violence exist in communities, that means that not only are the people who are committing crimes within a certain subset of, say, parts of our area or parts of the country, more or less. The data backs that up. That's not a thing I'm saying that can make anybody mad at me. Not only is that true, but also the victims are all people usually within those same communities that are troubled. So I really liked this, the idea, and March Gladness might be a dumb name, playing on the March Madness theme, but trying to encourage kids to also find like the good in life. More or less feels like a tone or a statement to be made. They said, if you want to be an influencer, do it as a human being, do it as a person. And this leads me to one other thing I wanted to bring up today. There's a story out there about how people of faith, and I don't mean any specific faith, I just mean faith of some kind, religious beliefs to some degree, are actually happier than people who don't have religious beliefs to fall on. This is just another study, just more data out there into the world. I'm not trying to go to, you know, religious myself. I am a Catholic. I've actually played a role on other shows when I used to work on them. I called Catholic Craig, which was weird. And they'd bring me on to talk about whatever the news was that involved my faith, which wasn't always the most fun to talk about. But I digress. Nonetheless, what I think is important here is how these worlds sort of merge. And the biggest solution to the problems that exist in communities in our society or in our country or, you know, right here in Indianapolis is people within those communities fostering different decision making, acting as though like these are the things you should be doing and these are the things you shouldn't be doing. And there's no real value in behaving differently. I find that to be a good message. And so, again, I know people are going to criticize all kinds of parts of this. You might tell me I'm overly woke right now on the show for saying this the way that I'm saying. I intend no wokeness. I would love that as a bumper sticker. I intend no wokeness. But I do believe that the true solution comes from communities telling people who are misbehaving to stop and actually getting through out of young people. I think that that's a huge part of what actually solves the problem, and not any of the red flag operation stuff that the Biden administration will be going down and touting and proud of that seems to pretty easily infringe on, say, Second Amendment rights. Because so many people think the only solution to the problem is we'll take the guns away. And if you did that, the only people who aren't going to agree to it are going to be the criminals, the bad guys. They're not going to care that their guns are illegal. The rest of us won't have them. Actually, you know what? I'll go this road with it. And we'll take a pause after this. In Canada right now, you might have seen this story. It was about a week or so ago that it first became viral. I think it's just parts of Canada where people are now cops are now telling people who live in houses that because home break-ins are so bad and because carjackings are so bad, just leave your keys outside. And if someone shows up and tries to take your car, you'll be happy to know that they're not going to break in and steal more of your stuff too, which is insane. That's an insane destruction of society, a breakdown in what does and doesn't make sense for people. And the reason why is because, well, now you can't arm yourself in Canada legally. And so a lot of people would be at the mercy of an individual who attacks their home and has a gun. And so again, that's the bad version of the thing they tell us is a solution actually happening somewhere else in the world. And then you have these good things happening in communities that probably need more publicity, probably need more coverage. Whether or not they work, I don't know. I have a buddy of mine that always makes fun of midnight basketball. That's not going to solve all our problems, just setting up some midnight basketball. And I agree with him. I understand that that alone isn't going to do it. But I do think praise is deserved when faith leaders, individuals, whoever they are, try to set up events that are focused on finding a way to remove the value in doing bad stuff that exists and, you know, create a better set of priorities among what good things you should be doing. All right. On that very preachy note, we'll take a break. A lot more in a bit. Craig Collins filling in. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Matt and Carl hanging out as they do every single morning. Tony is back tomorrow. I saw a story about a Batmobile-like vehicle that's going to be at the New York Auto Show, or probably has gone to a bunch of auto shows recently. This thing is $2.5 million, and it goes a top speed, 256 miles per hour. Here's the thing. We don't need stuff like this. Stuff like this probably won't be on the roadways anytime soon, and no one's going to hit 256 in a valuable way, or Matt Baer is going to do the craziest traffic report you've ever heard in our society, for sure. It still sounds cool. It still sounds awesome, but I do think that we don't need to get to ludicrous speed. Ridiculous speed was good enough. You don't need to go any crazier. I know Spaceballs reference.
Yeah, great
Matt,
Spaceballs.
What do you got?
Woo. I was just going to say we don't need it, but we want it.
We do.
You know, I mean, it's a who doesn't want a car that goes 250 miles per hour? I'm picturing this, you know, ramp from West Street that, you know, is like, it feels like a mile long. That takes you to eastbound 70 into the south split. Man, that is a fun ramp to drive. I'm not saying I'm reckless on it, but it feels like you're taking off sometimes. You know, that you're an actual, if you roll down the window and stick your arm out, it feels like an airplane. It really does.
I'll be honest though, man, like, can you picture taking this car home? The $2.5 million price tag is what it is, and like the missus looking at you, for me in my situation, and being like, this car goes 256 miles per hour, she would be terrified of the idea that I'd have something like that at my disposal at any point in my life.
Oh, you'll get divorced. I mean, hands down. Sure. Yeah, you're it's worse than on the couch. Yeah. You'll be sleeping in the car. I mean, I hope you like the Batmobile, and I hope to seats retract a little bit.
And the divorce is more expensive.
It's true. I will say this, by the way, and I probably should admit this on the radio, but darn it, we're going to do it. And usually it's on country roads. I've topped out every vehicle I've ever owned. I found out the top speed of every vehicle. Luckily, none of my cars have been cool. So the top speed has never been, you know, all that intense. I think I had a Mazda 323 that went like 85 top speed. So these are the kinds of vehicles I've maxed out.
We used to do that in high school. I would go out and we would quote-unquote race on county roads because, you know, we were from a small town. We were bored as hell. So we'd take our cars and we'd go race them. Now, my buddy Kyle, he had a Camaro. Somebody else had like one like a supercharged truck. And then I'm driving an 89 Sundance. My top speed was like 67 miles per hour. And, you know, we would all go for a little bit, go for a few miles and stop. And I'd be like, did I win? Did I win? And I'd be serious. You know, I'd be like, no, you didn't win. Your
car
sucks,
I love that you said
dude.
That because I vividly remember one, quote, drag race, I think is what my friends all called it, where my Mazda 323 faced off against somebody's much fancier vehicle. I don't remember what it is now. And the guy just like he didn't actually race me. Because my car went 0 to 60 in like 7 minutes. It was not a good thing. It was the slowest, craziest. I could have gotten out and run faster, I think, than the vehicle went.
You needed ground effects. When you have the ground effects, you get a little more horsepower. That's what I'm told,
right.
At least.
Yeah. This is great. Yeah. I love that people wanted to race my car because they knew it would be pathetic. Another thing out there, I don't care about this. I did see it, though. Chick-fil-A has made a major announcement. They're going to change their chicken, but not in a way that hopefully we notice. They're getting away from, quote, antibiotic-free chicken, and instead they're going to go with a term I've never heard of before, no antibiotics important to human medicine chicken, which means that any antibiotics that are in there aren't stuff that interacts with us at all. I don't care. Chick-fil-A chicken is delicious. I'll eat it. Put whatever things in you want. Take whatever things out you want. But I do like the fact that the announcement included a term, no antibiotics important to human medicine food.
Don't change the Chick-fil-A sauce. Don't change the sauce and you'll be fine. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm all for this. I've been eating pre-cooked chicken for the last couple of weeks. You buy it in the store, you know, and I compare prices and cooking time and everything. And it's like, okay, it's cheaper, pre-cooked. My body hasn't been right for the last 2 weeks. And I'm not going to go into detail about that. So anytime we can get a little bit more cleaner on our meats, and meats and sausages and chickens, I'm all for it. You know, maybe this could just be like smokehouse meats, you know, just like undercooking their chicken a little bit, but that's probably not it, so I don't know.
Yet again, we've accidentally stumbled upon one of the many, many bumper stickers I want that's related to Matt Bear. Your stomach hasn't been right for a while, so we need to improve our meats. There's got to be a bumper sticker in there, right?
There's nothing worse you can do than undercooked chicken, and yet I do it all the time. And I pay the fool. I definitely pay the fool.
Don't let your stomach get as bad as Matt Bear's. Cook your chicken. Sounds great.
I can't do it right. No matter, I eat the same thing every single day, and it's still obnoxiously bad. I'm like, okay, you're middle aged. Just deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just live with it. Just continue to have the issues, whatever they are, that we all figured out, by the way, even though you didn't get into detail. All right, on that note, that was fun. On that note, let's take a break for some traffic and do some more stuff, and let's all pray for Matt Bear's stomach.
Thank you. Thank you.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Tony Katz, The Morning News. 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Yes, a lot of people are talking about today the likelihood that there's going to be things seized from the former president, or the process is going to be started by the New York Attorney General there, Letitia James, to just take stuff and then sell it for prices that are going to be way higher than what they said these items were actually worth when they were going after Trump in court. And Trump is in the news saying that he does have, but also sort of doesn't have, at least according to the things the lawyers are saying in courtrooms, $500 million to put up. What I think is so crazy about this story, and I'll just do this quick, because I really don't want to talk about this as much as you'll hear a lot of other places. And the reason why is because media needs this narrative. The left wants the narrative that Trump doesn't have the money you think he has. And so whatever it is that's going on, but the belief that this is a crazy, ridiculous, even from jump, when all the different court cases against Trump came out, people were saying, expert people, whatever people you want them to be, not just people on a certain side of the political aisle, that was the weakest case against him, that the New York case really shouldn't have been brought at all. And if it is brought, it should be brought against pretty much anyone who does business in New York City and tries to get a high evaluation when going after a loan for any sort of property development or anything else. But again, just what I find so interesting about it is the media obsession with whether or not Trump is sitting on $500 million in cash in a bank account that he can hand to somebody in order to go after the ridiculous parts of this case. A part of the reason the number is so high is a hope that he couldn't put this money together. But media just needs this narrative, or at least some media does. So that's truly the reason I have such little interest in talking about it, other than to say that it does seem wrong if Trump can't actually appeal this decision or this ridiculous sort of finding, because he wasn't even allowed to be assumed to be innocent. That was another huge part of it that seemed kind of crazy from jump for me. But because of all of this, you just got to go in and say, all right, let's at least decide that it doesn't have to be $500 million, but you let somebody challenge this, because again, they're the leading candidate to be the next president of the country, not just the leading candidate and the actual candidate on the Republican side of the aisle. Most polls show that Trump would win right now. All right. Another thing out there that I just was amused by, and this is a bit of a deep dive. This is going to be a little bit weedy. I'm going to go into the weeds, but I don't intend to. I'm going to try to make it good or as best I can. Some idiot on social media with a valuable following. His name is Judd. I don't really care about telling you more about him. Went after Elon Musk and went after people saying that the Biden administration is paying for flights that illegal immigrants are taking all over the place, whether it's into our country or, throughout our country. And so this moron on social media said that Elon's yelling and everybody's lying and everything's terrible, because this definitely isn't happening. The Biden administration absolutely isn't spending this money. And actually, he even quoted one of the phrases in some of the literature that says beneficiaries are responsible for securing their own travel via air to the United States, not something that we provide them ourselves. Here's the part that's missing, though, that made this hilarious. And so many people, it wasn't even Elon Musk that corrected it. So many other people came out of the woodwork to be like, hey, you're an idiot. You're lying to people in saying that this isn't happening. Democrats are terrified of passing a particular part of a bill that would prevent NGOs and other organizations that have taxpayer dollars from paying for these flights, from facilitating all kinds of travel, et cetera, et cetera. And I find that amazing that you can go out there and say, no, they're not paying for them. The government isn't doing it. Somebody else is doing it who's closely tied to the government and using government dollars to go ahead and get this done. It was awesome. And again, person after person came forward and said, it seems NGOs who are funded with taxpayer dollars are sponsoring them. You're not telling the truth to your followers. Organizations, businesses, and other entities can play a critical role in providing support for beneficiaries arriving through any of the processes that are right now being debated. And Democrats, again, refuse to pass a very, very specific, you can't do this anymore. And why would they say no? For what reason would they say, yeah, we still want to do that, unless they're actually doing it? But I just love, again, that social media is sort of fact-checking itself now, especially Twitter, especially X after Elon bought it, and doing much better, because any jamoke anywhere can find some passage in some bill or some passage in some law and say, this is the only thing that matters, and stop looking at everything else that's happening here. When it's so easy to just pay attention to what the politicians are saying no or yes to when they're voting, that feels like something that matters in some of these cases. Anyway, I just thought it was an interesting deep dive out there all over the internet, all over X over the weekend. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in, Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Matt and Carl hanging out as they do every single morning. Question for you, Matt Bear. Is your water sexy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very. There's a couple of ways I could have done.
Yeah, you could answer that question.
Yeah,
apparently this is a brand new trend on the social media, on the internet. I love if I call it that. It makes me sound very out of touch with it. But I guess young people are trying to make their water sexy. That's how they're describing it, by making it taste better than just being water. And this is putting, like, you know, fruit in it, blending in powders, minerals, lemon, pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And then also, by the way, this is the most important part to the internet people. You then put this new version of water in a cute cup. So it's a sexy water in a cute cup.
Oh, hot, sexy water. That's what we've been waiting on for years. Hashtag. It's got to be a hashtag. Yes. Hot, sexy water. And I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, competition of men over women. You know, it's who has the sexiest water, right? So this could be a special thermos. Is that what it is? We have the cute cup.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what a cute cup is. I don't want to find out, I think. I think parts of me never want to know what that is, although I do see examples on the internet, and I'm just going to pretend I don't. One other thing, I saw this. I don't know how to react to this, man. People are saying it's a good thing, and I don't think it's a good thing. And I'm sure I'll be accused of being a terrible person for feeling this way, but I don't care.
Oh, I can't wait to see what everybody comes up with. It's going to be awesome, you know.
There we go. Men apparently are embracing a fashion trend that women have been doing for a long time. The cutoff shirt. Men are wearing this more and more often, not just at the gym, the crop top, whatever you want to call it, showing off the abs by having half a shirt. I will never do this, not just because the abs are not show offable in my current situation, but I don't get it. I don't understand this. I think this makes no sense, but this is another thing that's being claimed on social media. I think on TikTok specifically, men are, quote, taking back women's fashion. And my response is no, we're not.
Yeah, we're going to stop about the time men start wearing thongs. I don't understand this. I mean, you know, even people that work out, I mean, that's something specific to, and I'm not saying guys can't do it and be comfortable, but it's absolutely not something I want to do, is to walk around with my midriff exposed. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, I can't.
It kind of ruins it for me, to be honest. It makes it a very different thing than you. And by the way, I don't know why I thought of this. I probably shouldn't have thought of this. Do you have a dude, a friend, you know, that one time wore a thong to be funny? Has that ever happened in your life?
That was me.
Okay, was you?
Yeah, it was a party thing back when I was 18, 19 years old. Yeah,
because every time now that anybody makes these jokes, I have a horrible flashback to something I wish I could burn out of my brain, of one of my friends who thought it was hilarious to do that exact same thing. And I don't want to have ever seen that. And I think there were social media pictures for a while, too. Although I think once he became a professional, he did burn those. However, you can burn those.
Man, 18, 19 years old, you know, at Purdue University.
You do dumb stuff.
Yeah, you do dumb stuff. That's all. Yeah, I mean, really, again, morning radio, I'm getting myself in trouble here.
Fine, Matt. You'll be fine. No one's listening. Don't worry. What else were you going to say?
No, it's just, I mean, you did weird things or different things whenever you were trying different substances for the first time in your life. And, you know, sure. I mean, it wasn't necessarily that I had borrowed, you know, you just kind of take what you have and you make it your own, you know? You make it your own, Greg. That's what you have to do in life.
I love the coded version of this conversation with you at 8:20 in the morning. That's fantastic. all right, I'm gonna shift gears. I'm gonna take you off the hot seat. We're gonna talk about something else. I saw this. Well, it's a dating story, so who knows how you're gonna react. Nearly half of daters are now rejecting romantic partners. Mostly, I think this is younger people that are doing this, but I guess the number gets high enough to be half based on their astrological sign. So if you don't mesh with each other, because the moon and the sun don't align correctly for you and somebody else, this is now a deal breaker for a lot of people.
Yeah, wait until they get through their first divorce. And it's kind of, I'm not saying your standards get lowered, but when you hit the middle-aged single mark, I mean, you start looking at personality a little bit more, as we should have been doing in our 20s, then we wouldn't get divorced at all. You know, that's kind of the thing. But it's, I don't know. I mean, what is to an astrological sign? I mean, I'm a Gemini. What does that mean for me? I mean,
I don't know.
People used to joke and say it means you're going to be a criminal. And I'm like, no, that can't be. What does Gemini have to do with it? I'd like to see some sort of evidence that the astrological sign means anything more than I was born on a certain day. Yeah.
There's no evidence. There'll never be any evidence. People will believe this very strong, but no data, no science can prove it. I know I'm a Scorpio. I don't know anything about what that means. And anytime anybody asks me, I begrudgingly tell them and know that I'm going to be annoyed for the next 10 minutes of the conversation when they tell me stuff about myself that's probably not true. When they're like, oh, what sign are you? And I'm like, Scorpio. Then 10 minutes of that makes sense because, and I just nod.
It's like being a vegan. You know, you just can't mention that you happen to be a vegan. You know, when you're in astrology, you have to continually talk about the whole thing and dominate the conversation for like 10 minutes. You just can't leave it alone.
You reminded me of a person I know that's both a vegan and into astrological signs. And that's just, it's difficult to have conversations. One other one I saw, I like this. Do you believe that you could remodel a part of your home or apartment if you were asked to, or if you decided you wanted to go a certain road? Do you think you could successfully do it?
Oh, hell no. No, not a chance. Okay. I had to have help changing the flapper on my toilet. So no.
I could help you out there. That was not that bad. I don't know. That's a weird offer. One third of Americans believe that they can absolutely fix anything in their home. They could remodel their house. I love this stat because if you go a little bit down in the same poll, over 50% of Americans don't want to deal with plumbing or electrical. We believe we could renovate our home. But if it gets to the point where we're interfering with the stuff that you use when you renovate the home, we're like, we can't do that part. Where it's actually the perfect version of, I'm going to break a thing in my house, and then when it gets too challenging, not fix it until we hire a professional.
Well, you get into things like electrical. I mean, if I touch the electrical, I'm burning the block down. I mean, it doesn't matter how many Google videos I watch. It doesn't matter how much training I have. That is just something. Sure. That seems like something you got to get right the first time. You know, not like a toilet flapper. You know, you adjust things, you move the arm a little bit, and you know, you get once or twice, you help it flush, whatever. With the electrical, the thing goes the wrong way. I mean, you combust, right?
Yeah. Amen. One time is all you need for bad stuff. Did you have to jiggle it? Is that what the problem was with your toilet? Have to do like the jiggle it thing?
Yeah, there was jiggling. I had to take my arm and I had to stick it down the backside of the toilet.
Nice.
And then, move the flap around. And, you know, I mean, mine's a rental, so at least I know who's been doing the business in there. But it's still really dirty. It's not a pleasant experience because, you go down too far and you ruin your good shirt because you forgot to change shirts. I mean, this was a long day.
You know, anytime I talk about this, it reminds me of a comedian. I shouldn't steal somebody else's joke, but I do really love this joke. It reminds me of a comedian's bit where he says the funniest thing in the world would be if you were in a really fancy place. Like, say you went and visited the royal family and you're in, you know, Buckingham Palace, and somebody tells you when you go to the bathroom, you got to jiggle that thing a little bit. That would be the most amazing. Like, oh, by the way, that bathroom, you got to jiggle it just a little bit and you'll flush it fine.
So many bad toilet experiences in other people's homes. Yeah,
this is true. All right. We can move on this early in the morning. One last thing, and then we'll take a break and you'll do some traffic for us. Apparently, a new study said that bullies on playgrounds are probably making more money than the people that they bullied. This seems like a pretty bah humbug or mean thing for someone to put out there in the world, whether it's true or not. But I guess in the UK, where they studied this, a 5-decade-long set of research found that tough people, people who are traditionally, I guess, bullies, also wind up being stronger when it comes to the workplace and getting more money, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a silver lining here. No one's advocating for beating the crap out of other people when you're a child, but you should probably be stronger as an adult and not have needed to be a bully to get that done.
Hey, bullying has been a cornerstone of capitalism ever since I've been alive. And look at the riches.
It's true.
No, I mean, if you want to get ahead in life, you have to push forward. And I don't know. It's the same thing. You know, kids taking other kids' lunch money. It should never happen. Sure. It's awful. And I don't advocate for bullying in any sense. You know, who does?
No. And we know. But actually, it reminds me of something that Jordan Peterson said, that less agreeable people do better in life and men are traditionally less agreeable than women. So sometimes when you talk about pay gaps or whatever that stuff is people talk about, you wonder how it actually is created. And it might be just that truth. And I guess bullying might be a part of it, too, that we've never discussed before. But all right, we'll take a break on that. Again, not exactly a uplifting story from science, but darn it, truth is truth. Matt's got some traffic. More coming up in a bit.
We just wanted to get it out there that we do not advocate for bullying. Just wanted
there
to make
go.
Sure. Yeah, that's the PSA yes. this morning. Looking at the
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Cats, the morning news, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in, and let's fill up on the news. Two big reports as far as our economy is concerned and indicators that things are going well or not. I don't know why I just felt weird saying the word indicators the way that I did. Indications, that's probably better. But anyway, the first one is the consumer mood report, which is going to come out, consumer confidence index, that's going to come out tomorrow. Last month, things did not go well in that index, even as they were telling us that the economy's great, that everything's fine, that there's no recession coming. People who are actually living life said, I don't feel so good about this. And so another month of that would probably be about as telling as anything is in the world of there is a disconnect from what Washington or anyone else tells us is going on and what we're experiencing with our own human lives. And I would always err on the side of our human lives matter more. So we'll see tomorrow as far as that goes. One other thing that's coming out, and I think this is on Thursday, and people will be paying a lot of attention to this, especially as the real estate industry is probably changing due to some lawsuits and whatnot. But the National Association of Realtors issues its pending home sales index on Thursday for last month. And a big part of that will be looking at whether or not home signed contracts, are rising or falling. They fell the last couple times we've had this information come out. So that's not good. But you are seeing, I guess, some improvement in the real estate market, more houses being listed, et cetera, et cetera. Some indications that, I guess, some of our interest rates will be falling. So there might be some good, although not great news in the world of the housing market, but that'll come out on Thursday. And so this is a pre-fill up on filling up on that news again, as I imagine you'll probably hear about both of those indexes, both of those pieces of information as they get dropped later this week. And I think the consumer report is probably the most telling for politicians. Our mood, our belief that things are going well, should matter more to them than whatever they tell us they're seeing as far as the data or information goes, that is way better than we think it is. If we feel it's not that great, that's probably going to be a big part of, say, the 2024 election. All right. One other thing I want to just play quickly, and I do love this. It's audio that's all over the place. This is Fonnie Willis, of course, the embattled, the whatever you want to call her, Fulton County District Attorney in Georgia, who probably deserves to be fired or certainly not stay on the case against Trump. She did an interview with Forbes and CNN where they were playing some of this audio of her talking about it. She's pretty sure her reputation is great, that nothing that's happened to her over the last several months is bad at all. This is amazing. This is a version of either you don't believe this and have no problem lying, which is what I usually think most people in these worlds do, or the opposite. You're so blind to reality that you actually believe the things you're saying, which makes us feel a whole lot of the internet felt this way, like you've got to be drunk. That's actually what they were calling her. It was trending on social media over the weekend, Fonnie Willis drunk, for this take on how great things are going for her and her career.
I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. Let's say it for the record. I'm not embarrassed by anything I've done. You know, I guess my greatest crime is I had a relationship with a man, but that's not something that I find embarrassing in any way. And I know that I have not done anything that's illegal.
No, nothing.
So I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you the outpouring of women, and I'll tell you this, especially African-American women who will just say, we are so proud. You are such a good representative of us.
You're such a great role model. We all love it. We're so proud of all the stuff we're hearing. I like the fact that you went on several trips with your boyfriend who you didn't admit was your boyfriend at any point, but we found out because of a divorce proceeding that he's involved in. But anyway, let's move away from that point, the how the information comes out part, that usually is the first demonstration that people are liars or people tell the truth. You went on a bunch of trips with money that he made working for you, and then you paid him back in cash because you got a bunch of it in your house. And here, my favorite part, I love saying this as many times as I do, any human being that actually saves money somewhere in their house, and I know I was told by a lot of media that that's like a black thing, that a lot of black people do that. I'll tell you, I've done it in my life. There's cash in my house now. I don't want to tell you where. I don't want to tell you how much. That doesn't matter. But it's something a lot of us do. You don't use it to pay for a vacation. That's usually not how that works. That money is saved for the off chance that you desperately need it in some sort of cataclysmic event sort of thing, not because you went on vacation with the guy who works for you. And instead of creating a paper trail that would benefit you in a courtroom, benefit you in a jury of a public opinion, you went the other road and made it as weird as possible, or so you claim, because of course, a lot of us don't believe it. That to me is hilarious, but apparently also a role model. Keep a lot of money in your house. And then when you go on a vacation with your boyfriend that no one knows you're dating, go ahead and give him that money to make things harder and more difficult to prove in court when you get caught. That's the role model everyone wants to live up to be. Well done, Bonnie Willis. Well done indeed. So you tell me, is she lying and aware of her ridiculousness here? Or is she actually blind enough to think this stuff? I don't know the answer. I just know it's crazy. Quick break, a lot more. Well, a little bit more for me. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. Craig Collins filling in. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You got Matt, you got Carl hanging out as they do every single morning on this show. First, real quick, I know we've been reporting on it in the news throughout the day today. The Pinewood Derby that's going to be happening at the museum, it does sound really cool. And I'm happy about two things. First, that there's a separation between children and adults as far as racing goes. And then the second one is that this could rekindle any of us who did this sort of thing. I did it in Boy Scouts when I was a kid, but therein lies the rub too, because I was one of the only kids, I think, in the Pinewood Derby in Boy Scouts, however many years ago, that made my own car. And so I did not win. I did not come close to winning. My car was terrible. And here I actually have another problem with it. I still got a participation trophy and I didn't want it. I think I threw it out, which made me proud of who I was as a person. But you can't let the adults make the kids' cars and then win the kid event. That's not fair. You know, if the car looks too intelligent for the age of the child, we got to do some sort of IQ test to make sure they can make it themselves. Otherwise, they're disqualified. That's my complaint. I think it's very much coming from a sore place in my own childhood. Matt, what do you got on that?
Well, especially if your dad's like Graham Rahal or something, you know, right? in building your Pinewood Derby.
Yes.
Parents, don't make your kids do the Pinewood Derby if they're building their own car, especially if they have no ability to design or construct anything. And I'm not talking about Legos or I had Tinker Toys when sure. I was a kid, Lincoln Longs, all that stuff. I designed my car, except they wouldn't let me use the table saw. I just kind of drew lines on it. And when they were done cutting it, it looked like a prison shank. And they put it up at the top of the ramp and it comes down. And the whole thing, it was like in slow motion, but the other car was going really fast. So, I mean, I came in last. It was like, it just kind of ruined my whole scouting experience after that.
Sure.
It's a wonderful thing. Kids are smart. You know, they'll probably win the Pinewood Derby, end up at Purdue as an engineer or something. But no,
probably.
It wasn't for me. And it was really bad for my scouting experience, I gotta say.
Right. Well, and honestly, like, I was sort of proud that I made my own car as a kid. And maybe this is the silver lining. Because if you notice that some of the other kids that beat you probably didn't create their vehicle, you have some sort of version of, well, I have more integrity than they do, even as my car had way too many weights on the bottom of it that I guess were not put in the right places. That just seemed to slow it down. It didn't seem to be helping the car at all that I made it heavier.
And you threw away the participation trophy you weren't having.
I did. I put it right in the trash as soon as I got it. That wasn't the point, man. I was trying to be first. And if you're first, you're last. That's what I learned from Ricky Bobby.
You're the angry kid out back just smashing the participation trophy. Be like, damn it, right. I made my own. None of you guys made your own car.
Yeah, you guys all cheated. Yeah, exactly. Exactly correct. And now I'm a Yankee fan who gets mad that the Astros cheated a few years ago and right. talk about it constantly.
Well, that's a good
there
point.
There we go.
That's a good point.
I want to play this. This is just a woman beeping a horn. So I don't know if I should play this. And this audio, if you're driving a car, and I know a lot of people listen to the radio and drive, you're probably going to think someone's beeping at you. So I apologize in advance. But the thing you don't know, since it's radio, is this is a woman sitting outside of a fast food restaurant. I don't even know which one, somewhere. And the restaurant's closed. The lights are still on, but they're definitely not operating anymore. And instead of just moving on, for 5 minutes, she sits in her car just randomly beeping her horn. She's got a dog in the backseat that starts barking too. And I guess this went viral because a mom who showed up to pick up her 16-year-old kid who works at the fast food place, I just watched this happen and just pulled out the phone and did a video. It's amazing the dedication to be like, I want my food, even if you're closed, even if none of the fryers are on, make it for me. So again, it's just beeping noises, but I feel like it'll add benefit. There's context here. Here we go. Ah, the dog.
Poor dog.
Now that's a pretty long one shot, but it's the more coming. Yeah. Here we go. Let's see another one. Waiting, she's waiting, and back to the horn. Back to the dog. Okay, what do you think of this? Like 5 minutes just sitting outside the fast food restaurant in the drive-thru, being like, food, and no food ever came.
I think the Animal Welfare League should go take the dog first off. That's the first thing that needs to happen. I mean, we do this at stoplights.
I mean, yes. This is
Indianapolis, you know, no right on reds, go right on reds, you make your thing up. It's just, it's the city of taking lanes, and our horns are very active around here. I don't understand what she's expected to happen here. People, is like they're going to be a bellhop, somebody in a fancy bow tie coming down and just bringing her fast food, Chick-fil-A. Whatever it is, and say, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Here you go. We were open the whole time.
By the way, you did mention how we use horns throughout, you know, our community. And I would ask you this, man. Are you an exaggerated horn user? Like, do you lay on it for too long? If I beep at somebody, I do some rapid beeps. I usually don't do the full, you know, like I'm Morse coding more than anything else.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
It's a great way to communicate, you know, with people that don't speak the English language. Craig, full confessional. I am a horn honker, and I like to honk that horn. And now I did encounter, say, I just give it a little tap, you know, when it's time to move along. Because, you know, distracted driving, if you lay on the horn every time somebody's late at a light, you're going to run out of horn. I mean, it's simple as that.
Yes.
So, you know, you just kind of tap it. Anything else, you know, if I'm about to get hit, like, say, on Fort Wayne Avenue coming off East Street or around in that area the other night, then, yeah, I'm going to lay on the horn for a couple of seconds because I don't want to get hit. But anything else, you know, don't be that guy. Just kind of tap on the horn. Right. Just give it a little.
You know, I just looked this up. I'm curious now. I found the Morse code for idiot. And if you want, I can play it real quick for us. And if you want to, you know, next time you're about to be in a situation, you could try to tap out idiot in Morse code on your horn. Here we go. This is what. Wait, hold on. Do you remember all that? That's idiot, by the way. That's Morse code for it. One more time. Let's try it again. All right, that's what we should all be beeping now.
Careful,
Matt, or no?
Be careful with the second one, because if you're too long on the second one, that's saying something about your mother, and you don't want that. The guy knows Morse code. There could be a tire iron in your future, so just be careful.
You know what's so funny about that, by the way? If I ever actually do this, like learn it and then use it, no one's going to know except me, and I'll feel so good that I just told somebody they're an idiot in Morse code with my horn, and everyone else around will think I'm a moron.
No,
but
They'll be like, stay away from the guy who's mental. You know, who's a couple of cars up right now, won't leave his car alone. Won't leave the horn alone. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to be in the car doing this and my wife sitting next to me being like, really? You're doing the idiot thing again? I'm like, yeah, I am. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, I'm getting him. He knows. We both know. All right. I'll see you later, buddy. Take it away with some traffic.
All right.